Hello and welcome to Hardcover Hoes, a long-distance book club where two book lovers express their feelings on their book of the moment via podcast. I am one half of your host, Sam Cabrera-Dixon.
And I am Sammy Skorstad.
Together we have combed through book talk, combined our to-be-read lists, and now we intend to make... What the... Sorry! And now we intend to make our way through them one book at a time. We'd love for you to come along with us and join the discussion.
The book of the moment for today's episode is Spare by Prince Harry. What the fuck is their last name?
Windsor?
Is it actually... No. What? Is it?
If I...
Henry Charles Albert David. Full name. Wait,
what? Mountbatten Windsor.
What is Prince Harry's last name? What?
Because their kids are Mountbatten Windsors.
Do they have a last name?
I mean, that sounds right. Windsor.
Queen Elizabeth's last name is Windsor.
Uh-huh. And then
so it would be. Okay.
What's his face was Mountbatten. That's why they have a thing.
Prince Harry Windsor? Why are
probably
they
Mountbatten?
Okay, I guess it is. That's so bizarre. Names are that's interesting. Okay. Spare by Prince Harry. Just a forewarning to...
I'm going to keep all that in.
I know you are. Just a forewarning for those of you listening, this is not a spoiler-free zone. We will be discussing this book in all of its glory, which of course includes revealing the ending. Prince Harry, Duke of Sussex, FN in brackets.
You don't, sorry. No. Stop. Sorry. I had to copy from Wikipedia because he doesn't have an author website. So these are like where the footnotes are.
Oh, I was like, I don't know what this means, but this okay. is some fancy
looks,
royal shit.
It looks fine now. You can go ahead.
That's fucking funny. I was like, I don't know what it is, but cool. Prince Harry, Duke of Sussex, Henry Charles Albert David. Okay. Born. Hey,
he's
Virgo.
He's the day after my birthday.
Yeah,
what's up,
what?
Prince Harry?
Okay. Born 15th of September 1984, is the younger son of Charles III and his first wife, Diana, Princess of Wales. He is fifth in the line of succession to the British throne. Harry was educated at Wetherby School, Ludgrove School, and Eton College. Eton College. He spent parts of his gap year in Australia in Lesotho. Then underwent officer training at the Royal Military Academy, Sandhurst. He was commissioned as a cornet into the Blues and Royals, serving temporarily with his brother William, and completed training as a troop leader. In 2007 to 2008, he served for over 10 weeks in Helmand Province, Afghanistan. He returned to Afghanistan for a 20-week deployment in 2012 to 2013 with the Army Air Corps. In June 2015, he resigned from the Army.
Before you jump into discussing our own thoughts and feelings regarding the book, I'm going to go ahead and read the blurb on the back of the book for the sake of contextualizing it. I'm sorry. I don't know what is wrong with my throat right now.
That's okay.
Quote, it was one of the most searing images of the 20th century. Two young boys, two princes walking behind their mother's coffin as the world watched in sorrow and horror. As Princess Diana was laid to rest, billions wondered what Prince William and Prince Harry must be thinking and feeling and how their lives would play out from that point on. For Harry, this is that story at last. Before losing his mother, 12-year-old Prince Harry was known as the carefree one, the happy-go-lucky spare to the more serious heir. Grief changed everything. He struggled at school, struggled with anger, with loneliness, and because he blamed the press for his mother's death, he struggled to accept life in the spotlight. At 21, he joined the British Army. The discipline gave him structure, and two combat tours made him a hero at home. But he soon felt more lost than ever, suffering from post-traumatic stress and prone to crippling panic attacks. Above all, he couldn't find true love. Then he met Meghan. The world was swept away by the couple's cinematic romance and rejoiced in their fairy tale wedding. But from the beginning, Harry and Meghan were preyed upon by the press, subjected to waves of abuse, racism, and lies. Watching his wife suffer, their safety and mental health at risk, Harry saw no other way to prevent the tragedy of history repeating itself but to fleeing his mother country. Over the centuries, leaving the royal family was an act few had dared. I almost said dread. The last to try, in fact, has been his mother. For the first time, Prince Harry tells his own story, chronicling his journey with raw, unflinching honesty. A landmark publication, Spare is full of insight, revelation, self-examination, and hard-won wisdom about the eternal power of love over grief. Without any further ado, let's get into it. This book is so new, there were no trigger warnings on the trigger warning website, but
death.
Death of a parent. Death of a parent, miscarriage, suicidal ideation, panic attacks, PTSD, war stuff,
graphic war stuff,
car accidents,
man talking about his penis. Not to make light of trigger warnings, but like, no. That came to mind. That was,
yeah,
I just found it was a lot.
Yeah. There was something else I was thinking of. Parental issues.
Yeah. Being gaslit.
No kidding. Yeah. Yeah. Being, like, manipulated.
Yeah.
For real. Yeah, if we think of more, we'll say it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So... did you watch Harry and Meghan on Netflix?
I did not. Did you?
I've been watching it. I think we're like halfway through or something.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of knew most of the stuff going into it.
Okay.
But it was very, I've been doing a reading thread on Twitter with every book that I've read this year because I've never done that before.
Oh,
so. And I've been doing just one sentence of my like thoughts, general thoughts on the book when I finish it. And this one was, I too enjoy oversharing and and spilling tea on family drama.
Oh, God.
Because that's what this was for me. It was quite literally a book about tea. Like,
yeah. I realized.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about the royal family.
That's fair.
And I tried really hard, especially because a lot of this book is. Like, a good sized chunk of it is also his time as a soldier. And
which I also don't care about.
Exactly. I care even less about that and hearing about your experience in a Middle Eastern country where I did have a really difficult time getting through this. I will say, though, when I finally reached the point where he met Meghan, and he described the feeling of being around her and just, like, describing them falling in love, I was like, oh, okay, I'm swooning right now. Like, literally. This is that. So, like, I mean, I had to get through the whole fucking book to get to that.
It was, like, 65% of the way.
Yeah. But truly, the way he described the feeling he had around her, like, and the feeling he had getting to know her was like one of the most beautiful things. It just felt so innocent and so real and like, oh my God, this is what soulmates. This is like they're soulmates. That's what this is.
Yes. Everything about their love story is fate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like how he was like, how her friend had said, if you're going to do your Eat, Pray, Love summer, you need to leave 1 week open for magic. And Harry only had 1 week free and that over was the summer, magic. Too. And that it was the same that was week. The week.
Yep.
I can't. That's why when we were watching Harry and Meghan, I really enjoyed it because it's only about them.
Yeah.
So see, that's why I was like, prefer... oh, is that what Spare is going to be on?
Some, yeah.
Yeah, but... some of it.
I don't know. I just like, and he makes a few little comments here and there about like the imperialist history of the British Empire and stuff. And it's like, it's not just the history. It's that shit's not done yet. But
And that's kind of what he was saying towards the end as well.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it was really one of those things where it had to come full circle. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think I agree that like a lot of the stuff from the beginning could have been left out. It was truly an oversharing moment, but at the end of the day, it's an autobiography.
Yeah. he wrote, like, I don't know, and I think, too, for soldiers, like, that is such an, like, integral? I always fuck that word up.
Integral?
Is it tomato?
I think I say it both ways. So,
okay. I think being a soldier becomes such like an integral part of your identity and how you've become to be the person that you are. So I understand why that was such a big part of the book.
Right.
But it's just like, I don't give a shit.
That's fair. I too was like, okay, can we move on from all the military stuff?
Yeah.
I did. I learned a lot, I feel, while reading this. I feel like when, I don't know, maybe it was like the One Direction phase in me in the early 2010s. But like, I feel like there was this weird American hyperfixation on like England.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean?
I remember like high school, so many girls like wearing, they had British flag stuff.
I was like one of them.
Okay. Yeah.
I just remember like, I don't know. I think I was really into Doctor Who and Sherlock and all that.
Yeah.
Which is like outing myself on the internet again, but that's okay. So I think there was like this romanticization of England and London and, you know, like the vibes there. And I also distinctly remember like when, back in the good old days of like just finding cute people on the internet, you know, like pictures of somebody and being like, oh my God, dibs, in your friend group or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like I distinctly remember like the Prince Harry resurgence of like photos of him being the like, I don't know, cuter prince.
Yeah. I remember that, but also that was like part of my experience reading this and all the things that he's addressing of like, this rumor got spread about me, this was in the press, this was this and this and this. And he goes, and he like was very honest about what was true and what wasn't, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I was just like, maybe this would be a more interesting book if I had been around, like if I had been paying attention to these rumors when they were being spread. But like, I just was never, I think because you know why? Because I hopped on the One Direction train after I gave up on Justin Bieber.
Oh, yeah. I forgot you weren't like in the beginning. I forgot. That makes more sense, I guess.
I was late to the game. So I didn't have the London British hyperfixation thing.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. So
I definitely didn't follow like royal news. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But like, I didn't know half of the little scandals that he went through. Like, the... Mm-mm. Oh, yeah. This was the trigger warning I was thinking before. Like, Nazis? Like,
oh, my what? God. That was
that was what I was trying to think of before. I was like, there's a big one. Yeah, I had no idea that happened. I appreciated the fact that somebody in his life, one of his dad's henchmen, whatever, I don't know, right, had, like, taken him to Berlin after that.
Yeah.
And been like, look at what you were thinking was a joke.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to rub your nose in it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, because I don't know. I just feel like I can understand when he said how, like, well, when you're educated by one person for your whole life amongst your family, how are you supposed to know all the things that other people are learning?
Yeah.
Which is a crazy idea. Like, I truly, I think this is something that maybe is also really applicable or should be applicable for like fantasy books, is like when you're a royal, you really are only educated by one person.
That's so true. And it's like
they have one teacher.
They have this tutor, and like it's the person who's taught them their entire life or whatever. Yeah, but like,
and they're super biased.
Yeah. But like that's never mentioned of like how. No, because you like usually like the brainwashing shit happens from like within the family. Like, oh, this is what my parents have always told me. But there's never somebody write a book about the evil tutor who totally brainwashed and like created a false reality for a royal person, and then the person who has to come in and kill them, it like breaks them out and is just so flabbergasted by like, wait, you believe what? Like you
it's
think what?
Kind of giving it's kind of giving Poppy.
Poppy,
women.
I know.
When Castiel had to break it to her.
Yeah.
But that's it's true. Really, really accurate, I feel, because at first I was like mouth agape, like listening to him talk about like this Nazi costume.
Mm-hmm.
thing. And I was like, how, like, what even possessed him? Like, how white man of him? Like,
To
I
think that
started
that
like
is even
popping off in my
remotely.
head. And then when he was like talking about how he was literally like, I had no idea. Like, and I was like, come on, you had no, you know, I was
Yeah.
really like ripping him a new one in my head,
No.
of course. And then I was like, wow. I mean, yeah, if nobody, if you were being taught one thing by one person forever, and having little to no access to the outside world ever, that's crazy. Yeah,
That
how
is, it
would you
is
know?
crazy.
How would you know you were being extremely fucking offensive?
Know.
Which is not an excuse, but it is
No.
a factor that, you know, definitely wasn't considered
Appreciate that
by
he
anyone.
talked about it
Oh, for
in the
sure, for
book.
sure.
Like, okay,
Instead of
that.
trying to say like erase that from his history.
No. Yeah. I like that
Yeah.
is one thing with this book. It's like everything, even the things that ended up getting swept under the rug. Like there was like the like a weird drug thing or whatever. Like he got caught like doing blow or something, and he denied it, and it didn't end up coming out in the press, but then he was like, I did do that. And
I appreciated the honesty, honestly. Yeah. I thought it was really interesting too, just because like I know this is like what the point of his autobiography was in a lot of ways, but we have such an idea of what the royal family is, like prim, proper, cool, calm, collected, like never a feather out of place, right? And so to hear all of Harry's actual teenager shit that he was doing, that like everybody was trying to keep quiet, or all the times where he was like, oh yeah, I totally ditched my bodyguards at this point and went and did this, and his first time having sex with a woman was like in behind a pub. Like it was just all of this stuff that is like the complete opposite of what we think of the royal family. So I truly want to know the conversations that are happening in the castle right now.
Now, oh yeah, I, you know what? I want to know. Okay, what are your thoughts on Will now?
I have always had a weird feeling about William. It started with the receding hairline. I just want to point that out.
Don't trust a man who
Don't trust a man with a
was
receding hairline. It's never wrong. Name an instance in which it was wrong, right? But it this made me 100%, even though we're only hearing one side, right? I believe Harry. I believe him because
This.
he ruined his entire familial like connection with this book. And with Harry and Meghan, the TV show. So I believe him. If you're willing to do that, I believe you.
Apparently, Harry recently said in an interview like he's really hoping to like rebuild his relationships with his brother and his family after this.
I hate to break it to him.
I know, bro.
But that's very much wishful thinking.
I was talking to my mom about it, and she was like, there's absolutely no way they are going to have a relationship after
Yeah,
this.
no, I'm sorry.
No. But yeah, this it made me go like, ooh, William, like you gotta come out with your receipt to, at this point, like, and
Yeah.
he's never gonna be able to.
No.
But like this shit made him look so bad.
Literally.
Even like Kate too. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. I was like,
Yeah.
whoa. And why did it make me almost like the queen at points?
Yeah, me
Did you
too.
have that feeling
Because
too,
I
where she
think
was like the only one who was like agreeing with him at times,
she was like
but
the
because he
quiet
had
little
her henchmen?
ally. Yeah,
Yes, but
yeah.
her henchmen were the mean ones.
Yeah.
I was like,
Also, he had like such a cute little relationship with her, and
yeah. And how he was always like, I just wanted to hug her in this moment, but I could
yeah.
never do that. I was like, oh,
I know.
you're such a grandma.
I don't know what's wrong with me. Something's a little, something's, I don't know what was going on when it happened, but I legit, in my mind, Queen Elizabeth is still alive. And I had to multiple times, like when they started to introduce like Granny's health, like when he got the thing, and I was like, wait a second.
Kidding, Sammy.
No, no. I had to Google it. Like, she's dead, right? I don't know why. She's in my mind, she's still alive.
So funny.
I
I was
don't know
starting to feel a
why.
little bad about all the like memes that I had been seeing because I was like, obviously, a part of it was always her that was a little bit evil, right? Like,
Yes, yeah.
we know. You're the grandkid, so of course you're gonna have like a very positive in some ways view
Yeah.
of your grandparent. Come on, I understand that. There's a bias there. But it made me start to feel a little bit bad.
Wait, it's way past 154.
I know. I
oh, okay. Sorry.
Sorry. I did not but you remember. Were talking and I didn't want to interrupt you. Yeah. Thank you, though.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no problem.
But I was kind of like, ooh, I feel a little smidgen of guilt about some of those memes when she died.
I mean,
just a smidge, not a big, not even a smudge, just a smidge, you know?
See, okay, like, the memes were funny. What was funnier was all of the countries that had been fucked over.
Oh, yeah.
By England and the way they were Snapchat highlights. Yeah. For like Dublin and in India, like, and
yeah,
that
no, for
that
sure,
that
sure,
was
for sure.
What got me,
but yeah,
I understand, yeah,
no, I mean, I agree with that.
I also okay, so this is, I think, like, more recently learned a lot more about like Princess Diana and just her. I mean, all these fucking movies and TV shows highlighting that, like, the lead up to her death and her as a person have been coming out. And I mean, I knew she died and I knew controversy, like, oh, was it planned by the royal family to kill her so that, like, he could remarry, commit, like, because he's not allowed to remarry if she's still alive and some shit like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
And
basically,
I also thought it was really sad when, like, he finally started, like, openly dating and being with, and he, Will and Harry were both just like, whatever, like, yeah, we support her, we're happy for you, we love you, but just don't marry her.
Yeah. And then he still did.
I, like, that was a punch to the gut for me. I was like,
oh. I already don't like the king. Okay, like, we're gonna, I, one, it's, you know, white old men especially, but so let's start there and work down, work down. But this book made me like feel so much rage. Like, all of the directly, like, when every time Harry was like, okay, there's a new thing going out about me today. And then when he's slowly realizing that it's his dad and his dad's henchmen putting out bad press to make him and Camilla look better. Also, this completely slight change of topic because you said something and it made me remember that. But, like, the whole after Diana's death and then in the future when there's a new person working for the royal family and Harry asks him, can you please get the photos from my mother's death because I've never seen them before and I would like to see them because he just needed that proof. And when he said that the photos of her were in such a weird lighting and he realized it was because all of the paparazzi had been using their flash to take her photo, I was like, I felt sick to my stomach.
Yeah, he was like, the glow that was around her. You couldn't figure out what it was.
Yeah.
And like, and because, like, she wasn't dead at first. And so the crash happened and everyone just stood around taking pictures of her instead of going to see if she was okay and trying to get help.
I just cannot even imagine.
And so, yes, like, I remember telling you at first where I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to get through this book and all this, and you were like, it's really like a hate piece on the press and paparazzi and, you know, fuck the all that shit. But what's so interesting is, like, the entire internet thinks the royal family and the queen ultimately was behind Princess Diana's death.
Yeah.
Was that really, like, addressed in, because I feel like there were things alluded to it where he, like, alluded to things being fishy. He ultimately blamed the press for that, but
I think that legally
he's not,
he couldn't make even a I'm sus about this kind of comment. Even if he thinks that is what it is.
Yeah, that's
true. I know 100% he blames the press and I understand completely because of all the reasons previously stated. But I think legally he can't even suggest that it was the family because that would,
yeah,
he would be drowning in in legal issues for the rest of his life. Yeah. More than he already is.
So. Yeah, I'm like, not that he already.
Before we move on to discuss the rest of Spare, let's listen to a quick word about the brand sponsoring today's episode.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, let's continue the conversation. So, like you said, I too was suddenly, I couldn't put the book down once I got to him meeting Megan. Because it also was like we had to go through all of his little girlfriends up until that point. And you're like, okay, but where's Megan?
I know, yeah. I'm like, I don't care about her.
I didn't know he dated Caroline Flack, though. I did not know that.
Yeah, I did. I also did not know that.
I was
that
like,
was a surprise.
Yikes.
I didn't know any of his exes.
Me neither. Actually. Which is funny, considering how much they talked about him being in the media and everything like that, and I had no idea.
I guess Caroline Flack has a thing for Harry's.
You're totally right. I literally didn't even, like, I in my head I was like, oh yeah, she also dated Harry, but I literally made zero connection about the fact that she dated multiple Harrys. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. How old was Prince Harry when they were dating? Just a question.
Let's not slander the dead.
That's true. That's true. I'm just curious.
Yeah. No, I know.
I'm just curious. So he finally gets to Megan.
Yes.
And I, too, agree. Like, the way that he describes her is everything. And, you know, those, like, I don't know if you've ever been on, like, Harry versus William TikTok prior to this book. Prior to this book. Because I have definitely been on Harry versus William TikTok.
Okay.
I think it was around the time when they said they were stepping back from royal duties. But there's, like, clips of Kate and William walking together and, like, something's wrong with Kate's hair or something like that. And William just kind of ignores her. Mm. And then there's clips of, like, the second a single strand of Megan's hair falls out of place, Harry pushes it back.
Yep. I have seen
that. And I'm just like, if that isn't the most direct display of affection, first of all, I love their love.
I love the way that they love each other. And I liked the way it was described in this book. I just get like icked out by men. And so if I see clips of it, like actual visuals of it, I'm just like, no.
Well, you know, but what, like, tells me it's real love is I get the ick watching them talk to each other.
Okay.
That's how I know it's real love, because I know people probably get the ick watching me and Esty talk to each other. That's how you can tell. You're like, oh yeah, that's too real to be to be fake. I agree with you.
Yeah.
Even watching her talk, though, is what I'm saying, too. Yeah. Like, when they're talking about each other, I'm like, okay.
Just a man. All right.
Get a room. Yeah. But I get it. You know what? Good for them. That's what Harry always wanted. And it was so meant to be for them to come together. I, watching the show and also reading Harry's book, like, the press and the royal family combo against Meghan is absolutely fucking embarrassing and horrific.
Oh my god. It was like, so, like, I think I started paying attention to shit when Harry and Meghan, like, all that started going down. I started paying attention to the headlines and everything. And especially because, like, it's an American, like, marrying into the royal family, all this shit. Yep. And then all the really racist, fucked up stuff started happening. And so I was, like, paying attention to that. But, like, just hearing – there was so much more that I didn't see and know about. And it was like, oh, my God. Yeah. And Harry was right. Like, this is, like – it was a it was repeating the atrocities that were – that led to his mother's death. And so good on him for getting them the fuck out.
Literally. And I – and it's one of those things, too, where – we received way more details, obviously, through what Harry knew from firsthand. For example, like, Meghan's dad selling fake, staged photos to the press, who were actively, like, hunting down his daughter. That's fucked up.
I remember when there were accusations that he was that he was staging photos and stuff. But obviously they never came forward and confirmed that they were. Did he admit to it? I think he admitted to it in the press.
I don't remember. Because I literally didn't know that. Like, I had not heard that.
Oh, I remember when that was happening. He ended up admitting to that. So I think, like, Tom, like, it was like a front page thing. Like, I'm so ashamed. Literally. Okay. Which is what he said to them. Yeah.
And the selling of her letter she wrote him to, just begging him to, like, stop.
Yeah.
Like, I just was, I felt so much pain for her.
Yeah.
Because that, like, betrayal. Harry said the whole time. Yeah. Like Harry said the whole time. She kind of had an idea what she would be getting into because she was already famous.
Yeah.
But it was, like, tenfold, you know? And just evil. And then to have your own people, you know, like, the people who are supposed to be behind you and backing you up, having them sell you out.
Yeah.
Literally, like, bro, that is just painful.
Really bad.
Really bad. I also did not know that she had a miscarriage, which was the point in which I started sending you Snapchats where I was crying.
Yeah.
Because I had no clue that that was coming. I don't know if that was a thing they had said publicly or if this is something that was only publicly known now through this book. But I did not know that that was coming. And therefore, when it happened, I was like, oh, this is their other kid, right?
No.
No. That broke me. I was like, she already has been going through so much.
Yeah.
And then to have to hold this horrific secret.
Yeah.
In pain.
In pain. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
My God. I really will say, I also continued crying when they just had the most wonderful friends.
Yeah.
Like, who let them have the house or, like, stay at a house in Hollywood or something? Not Hollywood, but, like, around the LA area.
Yeah.
Was it Tyler Perry? Who was it? It was somebody.
Fuck, I don't remember.
It was a funny person. I don't remember who it was.
I'll Google it. And Megan stay at, hang on. Yeah, it was Tyler Perry.
Okay, my memory is not horrible.
Pop off.
All the time. Nice. I was just, like, that made me so emotional.
Yeah.
And then when they were in that, like, this was one of these things where it's, like, everything with Harry towards this part of the book felt like fate. When they were in the house and there was, like, the painting or something that was literally about his mom.
Yeah. Oh, my God, I forgot about that.
And Tyler Perry was like, I didn't even know that was there. I'm sorry. And he's like, no, this is like, it was like a sign. Like, like, she's here with me. I was like, okay, I'm emo.
Yeah. I'm not okay.
I'm not okay right now. I just cried for, like, I know I'm a crybaby anyway. So take that with a grain of salt, listeners. Yeah. But I was truly like, oh my God. Like, at least there's there's hope. At least for them having a better future now that they're out of quite literally the most toxic situation they could have been in.
I think it's going to be something else entirely for him to give up having hope on, like, having a relationship with them in the future.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Like he's going to have to grieve the possibility of them even being able to mend things and I don't know. It's going to.
I was also physically pained when they had pretty much decided, like, which option that they would go for making the public statement when Harry wanted to leave. And just him realizing all of the little lies that he had been fed that day. Like, the printer was broken, so they, they only printed that one option for now. And good thing it was the one that they were going with, even though he didn't really want necessarily that one. And then for the reveal later that where his dad was like, oh, well, we can't be paying for your security anymore. Sorry.
Yep.
Like the thing that killed his mother was like was the press who were going at him tenfold now, and you're gonna take away any semblance of safety.
Just like absolute piece of shit of
a
yeah.
Really, really though, like I was like, what, kick him while he's down, god damn. Like
your own son, my god,
for real. It was truly eye-opening for me. Not that I didn't think that the royal family's full of selfish little pricks, but it was really eye-opening, like the extent to which they care about only themselves, like each individual person, not even like protect the pack vibes. It's very looking bad. I'm getting a little bit of bad press. Well, I have dirt on everybody else in this family.
Let me tear someone else down.
Yeah.
So,
oh my God.
But then they still spew this shit about like it's for the family. Everything's
It, like, oh, well, it'll balance it out. Like, what do you mean? You're attacking somebody who married in, first of all. Like, evil. And hearing all the things about, like, when Meghan was really stressed for the wedding. And the shit with Kate.
That, it made me, like, I don't like hating women, but I mean, at least...
She looks like a mean girl, though.
Yeah, she does.
Am I wrong? I don't want to. I don't want to generalize, but she looks like a mean girl.
She looks like the volleyball player who became a nurse later in life, and she was your high school bully.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah. Like if she, if I went to the hospital and she walked in as my nurse, I'd be like, "Oh, you were a bitch. You like you put people in therapy with the shit that you said to them."
Yeah, and so it really was just extra eye opening because we heard. In, like, prior to that, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, William and Kate actually love watching Suits. Like, they, so they were super excited about Harry dating Meghan. It You're like, oh, this is going to be so positive.
Yeah. But then, like, I also remember the headlines, seeing the headlines of, like, Meghan made Kate cry and all this stuff and, like, animosity between the two and blah, blah, blah. And, all. And because Daily Mail wanted Meghan to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
And so I remember all of those and oh my God, just like all the shit behind all of that.
There was a statistic and I'm going to butcher it real quick, but there's a statistic in the Harry and Meghan show docuseries where they were talking about the percentage of the black population in the UK is like 3%, first of all. So then the percentage of black journalists and people in newsrooms is like less than 0.05% or something like that. So the way that the extremely racist headlines that were like not even necessarily trying to be mean racist, they were just like ill-informed racist headlines. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Ignorant. Yeah.
Yes.
Even those headlines, like, those are all being okayed to go out. And, you know, we have those moments where we're like, who said that? Like, who green-lighted
who gave
that?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
who gave that the okay to go out? Well, it's like when nobody in journalism there.
This is why we need that diversity.
Yeah. Not,
like, just having different people in the room to be like, wait a second, what if we didn't do that? And because this kind of looks like this, and that would be really fucked up.
Yeah,
and then everyone else in the
room
learns.
New York Times.
Yeah, hopefully everybody else in the room learns and doesn't do that shit again.
Yeah,
I mean they should know before that, but even when like fuck, like that last line of defense, even like oh my God, it's just makes me want to crawl out of my skin.
Me too. I just was like, man, not like Meghan must love him. because that obviously like the dating thing when they were dating in secret, all cutesy wootsy. I understand. I'm there. I'm with you. Everything gets, you know, out. And at first they love her. And that's really cool too. And then they immediately turn on her. Right. Yeah. But it's like year after year of that level of abuse from total fucking complete strangers who like are terrorizing you during the day, writing about you at night, and then putting fake information, racist information out about you the next day for the rest of the public to terrorize you during the day. Like,
yeah,
that cycle is so brutal.
And like, you see it too. I don't know what they talk about, how they talk about it in Harry and Meghan, but like, it got to her to the point where like she didn't feel comfortable being left alone because she was afraid of what she was going to do to herself.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, if to anybody who was behind publishing one of those stories, and if they, like, I want them to read this shit and know this shit and just feel the deepest level of shame.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know.
Like, how could I just, it made me furious, which I think, you know, was a major point of this book, because there's just so much happening. And I think that I'm going to use an example here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way we talk about the Kardashians, I'm going to say that's comparable to, like, the royal family.
Yeah, I agree.
There's a lot of talk about, like, oh, yeah, they get bothered by the press all the time, but they signed up for that, being famous and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of ways, yes, they did sign up for that because they wanted to be famous and they put themselves out there on reality TV. So that's where I'm saying this differs, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But Harry was born. Like, you did not choose this in any
capacity. No.
And a lot of people act like he did.
Yeah.
And I thought it was also really interesting to hear his perspective on, like, money and how he was like, oh, yeah, I got an allowance and it was, you know, a comfortable allowance. I never had to worry about money.
Yeah.
But then there's this reality that sets in that I might have to actually get a job if they cut me off completely. And not that I'm trying to complain about that, but, like, what would I even do?
Yeah.
And that's a really fair point. Like, we hold these people, like, an idea of these people up. That's like, oh, well, they're spoiled little brats because they're rich, so they deserve to be, you know, to be focused hated. On. Yeah, hated, focused on, put in a specific light.
Become a scapegoat whatever. For whatever.
Yeah, and then you're kind of like, wow. Not that I have a lot of pity, but I have pity for Megan. I'll say that.
I have pity for Megan, yeah.
Because that's, she absolutely didn't sign up for this.
No. No. She just fell in love.
Yeah. And this was truly like a romance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, aw. The forbidden love kind of vibes.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucked up.
It's so fucked up.
So fucked up. I'm nervous for them.
I know. I think, like, it's, they're out and things have, like, obviously not the same as they were when they first, like, were married and living in England. Like,
yeah.
But, like, it is still so far from over. And just, I don't know.
It does make me nervous because we have seen history and we know it can repeat itself.
Yeah.
I'm curious as to what else the royal family is going to spin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even, like, all hearing all of the jealousy, the pent-up jealousy from William.
Yeah.
Was driving me fucking crazy. Like, you can't wear that suit to the...
Because he couldn't. You can't
shave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, fuck off, bro.
Yeah.
And when they said in the beginning, like, their saying was on Mummy's life, you know? And then William uses it again and Harry realizes, like, you're just manipulating me. Like, I don't believe you. And you're using something that I'm supposed to, you know... You're supposed to get me to believe you in a millisecond, and I can tell you're lying.
Yeah.
And you're trying to utilize that. I was like, oh, bro.
Yeah.
Man, can't catch a break.
Mm-mm.
So, yeah, this was us breaking our no white men rule.
Mm-hmm.
What was your rating?
I'll give it, like, I don't know. I feel weird rating this book.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't think I can give it a rating because, like, I didn't enjoy it, but I'm glad I got information out of it and I really enjoyed the Harry and Meghan part. Right. So I can't really get, like, I don't know.
I felt similar because I was like, well, part of me, you know, also liked the Harry and Meghan.
It's also like just rating his life. Like, how do you rate his life?
Yeah. I think from a writing scale, I don't know if he had somebody helping him. Right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I thought his writing was quite good
for
someone who's never written before, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I was impressed by that. And it is kind of like, how can you rate somebody's life when it's totally about their life?
Yeah.
So I agree with you because I don't have really a rating opinion either.
Okay, cool.
On Goodreads, I think I put 4 stars, but that was because I was like, have to rate.
Have to do something. Yeah.
But I think it was, if I like had to pick a rating, I'd say it's probably closer to like 3.5.
Yeah, I was gonna make the 3.75 popped into
my head. Yeah, around that area.
There we go.
We can go with that. And it's not like that it was bad. We also just don't read a lot of like autobiographies of white men, so take that. Yeah. take that with what you will, you know.
Yeah.
Do you have any further remarks?
I do not. No.
Alrighty. Well, I think that's where we're going to leave it for this episode. Before we part, we'd just like to thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, I encourage you to leave a review on whichever platform you're listening on, if applicable. If you have any further questions regarding topics discussed throughout the episode, feel free to join our Hardcover Hose Discord server via the link in the show notes, or send us an email at hardcoverhosepod@gmail.com. Feel free to recommend books to cover in future episodes as well. As always, I am Sam Cabrera-Dixon.
I'm Sammy Skorstad.
And this has been an episode of Hardcover Hose. If you enjoyed this listening experience and you'd like to follow along with us next time, the next book on our to-be-read list is Hellbent by Leigh Bardugo. Until we meet again, enjoy your reading.